Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
The newly formed Oireachtas Committee on Artificial Intelligence convened this week, with deep fakes, the misuse of celebrity images and the regulation of AI companies all expected to be on the agenda during the lifetime of the committee. Now, AI is having a profound impact on how we live our lives, and here to talk about that and what the committee might examine is Dr. Andrew Hines, who's a lecturer at the School of Computer Science at UCD. Andrew, it's lovely to have you with us. I said there that AI is having a profound impact on how we live our lives, and we hear a lot about it, and now we have an Oireachtas Committee. Do you think, though, in general, that we understand the transformation that is underway? Do we get it?
I'm not sure we do. And I guess myself, as an educator and researcher in AI, I'm a strong advocate of AI because I'm looking at it every day.
You live it.
I live it. But I'm also fearful of what could happen with AI. And I think that kind of it's difficult these days to in a social media kind of one word snapshots of what people think, to hold these kind of two opposing views of AI can be great, but there's also a lot we need to be thinking about in terms of how we can make sure that it's actually good for society.
But how is it going to transform our lives? What is it doing now, and what can it do in the near future? And that's a difficult one to answer, but I'm just trying to reach an understanding, because we're told this is going to be like the Industrial Revolution, like nothing we've lived through.
Absolutely. And and I think, again, if you look at the kind of the hot takes on social media of what might AI do for us in the future, you can be frightened by this AI apocalypse of robots coming along. But if you look at what AI can be used for and is being used for right now, it's changing the way we're working every day. It's changing the way people are writing. It's changing the way people are gathering knowledge. It's changing the way people search, like the Google search. A lot of people now are replacing that with just going to a large language model like ChatGPT as a way of finding things out.
So it's a shortcut. It's providing a shortcut.
It's a shortcut, and I guess from an education point of view, this is something that we're worrying a lot about and thinking a lot about in universities and across education in general. Is if you've got a shortcut like that, like you probably remember back to the time when we were studying for exams, there was always that kind of motivation to look for the answer in the back of the book. Mm-hmm. But you knew that once you did that, you'd kind of lost the learning opportunity of working through and muddling through things for yourself. And the problem with AI is that it's there, it's everywhere, it's ubiquitous, and it can take away opportunities to learn. And so your learning capacity to actually combine some rote learning, which is necessary to develop kind of critical thinking skills, is necessary to develop skills in problem solving. Those are things where we need to work out how do we actually balance these things from an education perspective.
Maybe we need to rethink how we learn and what we learn by rote, you know, and differentiate between the things we do need to work out for ourselves and the things that we can take from AI, and that's okay to do that.
Absolutely. And I think that this is kind of where to me the kind of the focus of the new Oireachtas Committee. I think it's super that we're focusing on having an Oireachtas Committee. And before we had the Oireachtas Committee, we had the government put together an AI council that is advising them. And all of these things, I think, need to be looking at, well, how do we make it that we're using AI for what's good for society rather than what's good for AI?
Mm-hmm.
And I think whether that's for education or for business or for anything, that's where we need to be looking at.
So what do you think that Oireachtas Committee should set as its priorities then when it comes to AI?
Well, I took a look at the terms of reference that they had, and they said that they were going to ensure that the approach supports economic growth, innovation, public trust and society benefit while safeguarding rights and mitigating risks. And I would argue they should flip that round completely, that commercial endeavour will look after itself. Enterprise will always focus on getting a result out of these things. But we should be flipping it around and saying, well, how do we look at what the benefits of society and safeguarding the rights of society and the people? Because what we don't want is a situation where we adopt AI across everything and we end up, like the Industrial Revolution, hollowing out the whole kind of work that's being done. There's a lot of stuff being said about this. Last year in UCD, we had Professor Geoffrey Hinton, who's kind of known as the godfather of AI and got the Nobel Prize last year. And he came over, and when he was accepting the Ulysses Prize, which is an award that we gave him, he was asked a question about the effect of AI on employment going forward and what it might be. And he made the analogy of the Industrial Revolution. He said, yeah, with the Industrial Revolution, when you had to dig ditches, a strong person was valued for what they could do. But when the Industrial Revolution came along, the machines could suddenly replace them, and the value was lost for the person who had strength. And so the same risk is there with AI. That are you going to have it that all of the kind of the jobs that are kind of white collar jobs for people who have a good education, as we replace those things with AI, or we go, well, yes, AI can do that, are we reaching a situation where when you draw it to its end conclusion, that we don't need people for any of these jobs anymore? We're focusing on the enterprise and how to optimize making money, and we're replacing all of the people with the AI. And what's that going to do to society? And his point was, he's fearful of, from a society perspective, if we don't have any jobs to do, where does that leave us?
Well, we need to move pretty quickly on that, because industry and the big companies, and I'm not just talking the tech companies, but law firms, banking, right across all of these sectors, they're forging ahead with AI policies, aren't they?
They are. And like, in terms of what's happening in AI, there's a very different kind of perspective being taken between the likes of the US and the UK versus the rest of Europe. In Europe, we've just enacted the AI Act, and this is legislation that has been drafted and adopted across the whole of Europe with an expectation that it will prioritize society, it will prioritize the people. And the industry look at it and go, ooh, this is slowing down the opportunity for Europe to be competitive, and we need to water down some of these things.
Right.
But the question is, what kind of society do we want to live in at the end of this? Mm-hmm. And as a result, how do we make sure that we're putting the humanity first and the people first in terms of how we use the
You're
AI?
Not talking about holding back the tide on AI, because that's not going to be possible.
Absolutely not. But there are things that I think that can be done, that kind of practical, concrete things. For one, if you look at the AI Council, which I think is a fantastic advisory body for the government, and it has representatives from all of the big firms. It has representatives from academia. It has representatives from other stakeholders. But it has very little society representation. It has one or two people in it, but it doesn't really have a strong representation in there. And part of that comes from the fact, to me anyway, from the fact that it's under the auspices of the Department of Enterprise. So originally the national strategy, which again was updated yesterday, and the plan is there, is coming out of the Taoiseach's office. And I think that AI shouldn't be something that is coming out of enterprise, because that inevitably will give it an enterprise focus. It should be coming from the Taoiseach's office, where you're there going, no, this is something that affects cross-cutting across every department and every facet of society.
So we need to be really careful that we have an holistic view of what's happening here. Deepfakes is something that has been headline news over recent times, and there are some politicians who want to regulate deepfakes. Andrew, the technology around them has become very advanced, hasn't it?
It has, and with deepfakes, you've got voice and image likeness. So you can have deepfakes where you, even with a single sentence of your voice, we can create a speech synthesis model that can fool people into thinking that it's you. And these deep fakes are being used that, like, the politicians have seen it themselves, where there's been adverts online and faking things that they're supporting and using them as and other high profile figures like Michael O'Leary and people to basically for financial fraud to make people buy into the fact that these people who are trusted people are supporting this. I think your last interview was even talking about the same kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is something that is being used for scams, but it's also it's not just for scams that these deep fakes are being used. Like, they're being used for kind of nefarious things in terms of on TikTok, reputational damage is being done where there's videos faking children, faking teachers. And that's just damaging the individual's reputation by these fakes. And it goes across everything, though, even from a kind of an employment and a work perspective, kind of voice artists who would be employed reading audiobooks, for example. So if you listen to an audiobook and it's been read by Stephen Fry or someone, what happens when a deep fake can do exactly the same thing? You only need a sentence or two from them, and then you can create as many audiobooks as you like.
Well, it brings us back to the example of the strong man digging the ditch.
Absolutely.
Before the Industrial Revolution and people's worth being negated. Andrew, we'll leave it there for now, but we will come back to you again, because this, of course, is a developing and ongoing issue, and we'd like to talk to you as the work on the committee goes ahead as well. Dr. Andrew Hines, thank you very much for coming into us from the School of Computer Science at UCD. Now,